Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Wesley Mission Victoria and broadcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Everyone has a story, but from time to time, I come across an Australian whose story begs to be told, and it becomes a remarkable program when that person is able to tell it so brilliantly. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves, and welcome to Listen to Older Voices, and the third and final part of the life and times of Indigenous elder Jack Charles. Jack is an amazing man. He's an actor, writer, musician, potter, and an elder of both his Kulin tribe and the Australian Black Theatre. Jack resides in Melbourne, where he still remains active today in all the areas he's known for. He's a humble man, but that doesn't mean to say he's not outspoken on the terrible injustices perpetrated on himself in the past and currently. Jack is the first to admit that his life has had many ups and downs, but he uses those experiences in his theatre life and in his ongoing work to provide present Indigenous people with a focus for positive action. We listen to Jack talk about his life and how it forms the basis for his show, Jack Charles versus the Crown, and we listen to excerpts from that very show. There is so very, very much to this inspirational man and his revolutionary fight for justice, which has led him down the path to becoming a lawman, that is, L-O-R-E. He has the knowledge and the experience to share, and in this program, he shares some of it with us. Here I am, speaking with Jack. Are you still facing discrimination out in the general community?
Yes, you do. But that can't be helped. The new wealth that's moved into our community in Collingwood, Fitzroy, a large part of them, you know, do like to keep themselves separate from us that are walking the streets still.
Can I ask you, when you say us, are we talking about...
Blackfellas.
Yep, the blackfellas, not Europeans that are walking the streets too?
No, us, because we've always been a blight in their eyes, you know. And they can't help it. They've been raised racially like that, you know, to be like that. That's who they are. You can't stop them. But at the same token, there are many that are also making us useful tools for their projects, which are very good. That's how I started in a lot of cases. A lot of RMIT students come up to me in the old days, wanted to photograph me, or wanted me a little, you know, do a welcome to country, or my input in something, or to perform on a movie, you know, for their final year exam or something like this. Pro bono, I do it for nothing, as long as they feed me and pick me up and drop me back where I need to go.
Do you do that because it's... part of your soul that you...
Share the journey. Inform and educate. Through me, you know, if you want me, you do get a, you know, the full sense of who I am and what I'm on about.
Generally, what are the audience's response to you on stage?
Oh, look, nothing. You know, when I'm doing Jack Charles versus the Crown, going around the country here, going to all the festival sites that were done here in Australia, going overseas to the Barbican, over to Dublin, and that. Now we're going in Canada in January. Well, I've got to go over there in September to Vancouver for a 20-minute version of Jack Charles versus the Crown for an arts market over there. But we're locked into a contract to do Jack Charles versus the Crown in Canada in January to go to three different places
but that's
there.
That's fantastic.
That's fantastic.
It is.
I want to do as many former colony countries as I possibly can.
Yes. So this is a reflection then that Jack Charles, and indeed the Aboriginal community, is beginning to be seen in positive light?
Oh, yes. My word, yes. I give a lot of positiveness to people that may come and see Jack Charles versus the Crown. They might have seen Bastardy. They might have been people I've robbed.
Right.
You know, they may have been... ex-retired CIU inspectors, but each and every one of them have come to me, and it is proof positive that people love to hear the stories of a reformed, rehabilitated character, especially coming from his own lips.
Again, Before we started the interview, I said to you that people love stories, and your experience really reinforces that.
Yeah, they do.
Is it also for you very much part of a healing process doing this?
Always. It is that. Yeah. It gets me to live with my concerns. I now work on the streets at people's units and that, you know, people with, ICE and drug addicted and that, you know. I try and do something. I've been trying to get back into Victorian prisons even. It's been so difficult going back into prisons, trying to get back into prison. I've got this criminal record that's been an impediment.
But surely that's...
Well, one would think, usually somebody like myself who was a proven, person of note in the prison system for many years, teaching, talking people out of suicide, talking people out of stopping bashing each other and things like this. This was my role in jail.
Yeah. You know. Putting you back in there in your new role, though,
yeah.
I mean, you've got the credibility.
You
can make the connection because you're not... Yeah. Just talking the talk, you've walked that walk.
That's
so
right.
The prisoners will be able to connect with you.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make sense keeping you out.
Yeah, it's been a difficult. I can see my road into prisons, being paved very shortly, because when I did the Castlemaine gig, Ronnie Murray, one of the local lads, Murray lads, Jojo Rong mob, goes into Malden Youth Training Centre, and that invited me in. So. That's the first time I've been invited into a lock-up institution to talk to the fellas and that. And, of course, once unleashed, it was a good gig. And, tweaked both the officers and the fellas. I'd like to do more because I don't like the one-off programs, because it's only one-off.
Exactly.
You see. So I need to go back in.
Reinforce.
And that, but and I have been on this journey ever since I've come out of jail.
And you've tuned into Listen to Older Voices. Turning back time, turning back time, turning back time, turning back time, turning back time.
I came out intentionally to be Collingwood Fitzroy's Featherfoot Kadacha man, lawman, L-O-R-E lawman.
Yes, yes.
And so I waited until I jumped off the methadone. It took me 3 years, just under three
How
years.
How long has that
jump.
Been now then?
About over 10 years now.
Oh, right.
And, it's been a while. So I intended to be my community's Featherfoot and... I hadn't imagined that my criminal record would be an impediment here. So I gathered a group of elders together and we tried to reclaim the old Aboriginal Health Service on the Gertrude Street strip there. But it was given instead to Mission Australia to develop a Ute Butte restaurant that I could never be seen dead in. And that, and I have been invited and that because of my profile now. I said, well, I can't walk into that building because I wanted it actually to save lives, not to feed the wealthy.
Exactly.
So people like the Circus Oz people have known of my desire to develop a workshop in my own right here in Collingwood Fitzroy to showcase to our own services what could be done with another self-determined program run with honesty and integrity. Not like the services now. None of them, their corporate practices, the ATMs are abysmal and criminal, actually, and illegal. And that
Certainly immoral.
And immoral, because it's Aboriginal money that's embezzled in the millions out of our services here in Victoria, Melbourne, that they've been able to employ practicing accountants to crunch the numbers to say it never happened. The 4 million, one person stole, in one lump sum and bought himself a taxi and all that, all these kind of things happen and that, these are the truth of the matter and that, but, I believe it's worse than the HSU scandal. That's my observation. It's been more hidden than the
Absolutely.
HSU because, I don't know why the system, the state government, Yarra Council have allowed so much money to be embezzled. That's why they're not funding the gym now, because so much money has been, they've given so much money and it's gone up people's arms and down their gullets and etc., instead of for the intended programs there, you know, at the gym. So I can't attach myself to the gym. So it's been taken a long time. So here I am now, about to be given a certain amount of some spaces in the old Collingwood Tech down on Johnson Street to develop my workshop in there by Circus Oz. Circus Oz are permanently there now. They've got the Spiegel tent in the old car park there behind the Neighbourhood Justice Centre. So it suits me perfectly to have the workshop there. It won't be called the Nindabaya workshop now. It was a revisitation of a workshop we had in the 70s.
Yep.
It'll be called the Oz Workshop now.
Right.
And I'll probably start with pottery first. I'll have, you know, several wheels and a few kilns and start slowly that way. Then I'll have computers coming in. The full array of cotton industries, silkscreen printing.
Who are you trying to get into?
And anybody that's homeless and got nothing to do, except people on CBOs, community-based orders, can use this as a resource place. But also, you know, some of the computers will be connected up to Koori Heritage Trust. It's not only for us, it's for Somalians, it's for everyone. But it is, you know, run by an Aboriginal, me. Mm. Because I also know that the Somalians do come into our country and are not told anything about us. So we do have concerns about their lack of knowledge about us. And they need to know who we are. They live in our community. And so, you know, it'd be different if we went over to their community.
Mm.
You know, I'm sure they'd be more inviting than that, you know. Than what our, you know, white people have been here, and that, you know. So I'm about to be given this now. I haven't seen the space yet. I was only told a couple of weeks ago that it's available now. Yeah, so it's going to happen now.
Yes.
I'll get a few people together about it. You know, a few of the honest ones, and I'll talk to the Circus Oz. They're setting it up, helping me set it up, and that, you know. I don't know how we're going to go about it, but I, you know. It's the beginning of something that needed to be done many years ago.
I can see it's something that is a goal for you to achieve.
You'll
achieve it.
Yes. But I must say that what's been impacting on me is overload of contractual obligation for some performing arts have made it impossible for me. So I'm going to have to choose the right kind of people to run this when I'm gone. When I'm flying over or doing something different.
Call it fame, this fame you have, which you've earned,
It
really is a two-edged sword, isn't it? Because on one hand, it opens doors, but on the other hand, it's also, as you've said, making it difficult for you to do things you would like to do.
So it's an interesting
place to be.
Well, there's the other point too. In Jack Charles versus the Crown, we called it Jack Charles versus the Crown because I wrote a plea to the High Court of Australia to have my criminal record expunged for the record, you know, sealed. In the old show I did it, I said sealed. But, you know, now, when next I perform it, I'll be saying expunged.
The following is an excerpt of Jack Charles versus the Crown, featuring Jack as performed at the Perth Festival in 2012.
So much of his story parallels and mirrors, if you like, so many stories in this country. Essentially, Jack Charles versus the Crown is this kind of idea that Jack could take his case to the court and argue to have his criminal record expunged so he can get on to do the work he needs to do.
My crimes aren't to focus here. The punishment I've been dealt is, for no crime was I ever given life, yet a life sentence I seem doomed to serve.
In the very first act is essentially the stereotype of Jack, the Jack the burglar, the actor, the sensational Jack. We then go into the story behind the sensational Jack, going through Box Hill Boys' home.
Consider this class shot. I'm with those who haven't bloomed.
In the third act, finally, the what if. What if I was able to argue my case to have my criminal record expunged?
Are no forms of legal redress available for the likes of me?
the inner Jack or whatever is fearful. Nothing like us together as he seems in social circumstances. But a great inner strength and a dedication to craft that comes through in his work.
Another aspect that we use is the AV component. And then, of course, the pottery, the world of the pottery.
When we work with clay, we're reminded of who we are.
You're wrenched out of, you're away from your mother and away from culture, away from country at 4 months. What do you grow up knowing?
This refined clay is dirt. Dirt is land. Land is where we belong.
In prison, he was able to, I believe, find his connection on an earthy level.
Using our imaginations, absorbed in the moments of our creations.
He has a course to chart, and you ride that journey with him.
We're really ready to hear these stories as a country, as Australia. I think it's the story we need to hear.
I am here, my elder, and like you, like so many others, a skilled survivor. The war is long, and perhaps soon that treaty will come.
Listen to older voices, reliving the spirit of Australia.
We have to start thinking seriously about expunging people like myself, our criminal record.
Yes.
People who can, you know, and there's too few of us with the past criminal records that has a desire to go back into prisons.
Yes.
I mean, I get invited to the West by governors of jail over there. I get invited when they know I'm in town doing a show. I'll contact the theatre people, can you bring him in? So that's what happens when I'm in the West, in the high security jail.
Yes.
So that's happened, you know. And that's one of the most racist states in the nation. Or the most racist state in the nation is Western Australia.
Right.
And yet their prison officer or governor of a prison office, of a prison can invite me in because realise the potential to use somebody with a lived experience, the man beyond reproach.
You can't buy that.
Yeah.
Jack, you talked about the people out in the street needing help. Leads me to asking you about young Koori kids.
Mm.
Do they face the same problems as you did, or are their problems different? Or are they
worse? It's different. They've got more drugs in, you know, availability of drugs, ice and things like this. So a lot of them are weakened because there's no structure, there's no organisation for them to go to in any of the communities like Horsham. Have a look at Horsham. There's so much drugs being used by the young, ice being used up there.
Do they have a cultural identity crisis?
Yes, at the same time, there's that. They're not certain, many of them, about their standing. We've got nepotism also that plays a heavy hand in making people think that they're not who they ought to be, and that making them uncertain, paranoid, and things like this. We're extremely racist against our own.
Is that right?
Many of us, yes. And there's a double whammy with me, you see. You see, here in Aboriginal Melbourne, you see, my mother, during the 50s, was accused of murdering a certain person's father. That certain person who just died a couple of weeks ago is Aboriginal Melbourne over the past years.
Oh, okay.
Al Bamblett, you see.
Yes.
His father was being naughty to the women and the children of the Blackfella camp up in Griffith. And so they had a meeting in the camp and decided he had to go. A lot of it was tendered. The meeting was tendered with a lot of rum, opium, giggle juice, top shelf, bottom shelf. The decision was to kill him. My mum was involved in that. I had a sister, two sisters, and that lad, he was up there in the Blackfella camp at the time. So I can only presume that my mum was very strong in defence against this man's attitudes towards the children in the camp.
I think that's a fair assumption, given your attitudes and values. of which some have been formed because of your experiences, but some of it's also because of your aboriginality, isn't it? It must be partly her in you as well.
So
you can see how she'd be a very strong woman.
I met her. I did meet her. I did meet her. None of the rest of them had met her.
How old were you when you met her?
I was just going on 19, too. I was alter, you know, at this time I was discovering theatre and things like this.
Was it an accident or was it a deliberate arrangement at this meeting?
Accident.
Again,
it was an accident. It was an accident. But, the boys at work used to cajole me into going over Fitzroy. Lot of you black fellas over there, Jackie. I bet you got family amongst them. So no sooner had I stepped off the corner of the tram on the corner of Napier and Gertrude Street when an old fella pulls me up. I shat myself. Charles, he said, you Blanchie Charles's son. He grabs me and he ushers me into the nearest hotel, the Rob Roy. Every face in the place is black. Anyone who could, they raced up and introduced themselves to me as a cousin, an uncle, an auntie. And one old lady croaked, your mum, she's up in Swan Hill, young fella. You should go and see her. I will, I tell her, first chance I get. And as I say in my show, well, I get home late that night to Mrs. Murphy's. Joy, oh joy, mum. I found mum. I expected her to share my joy, but no such luck. She wrangles the story out of me, my night in a Fitzroy pub, being recognised as a Charles, and worse still, my pay packet ripped open and a third of it spent. I was so overwhelmed by their beery hugs and kisses. I didn't drink, so I dived into me pay packet and shattered a few beers and a habit of lemon squash myself. We had a bit of a blue over there. I raised my hand. I was so frustrated because, you know, somebody had just told me that my mum was alive. And so So she told me to put on my pyjamas. And so no sooner had I put on my pyjamas when she called me to the front door. A police divvy wagon was parked in the drive and I'm driven over to Royal Park Home for Juvenile Offenders.
Oh, no.
I'm a ward of the state, a child of the Crown, and will be until I'm 18, and the woman I've called mum has deemed me unruly, disobedient. For the first time, locked alone in a cell, I cried myself to sleep.
That was a dagger in your heart.
Yes, yes, and it seemed from then on, after all my Christian sensibilities were somewhat blackened, it's the first of what will become for me at that time a series of incarcerations. If you put your story out in such a way, onto a stage, mate, in such a manner, just like I've said that there, like that, you know, people are just drawn into it because it's only a variation on a similar theme who have suffered by so many others too.
Yes.
I'm not the only one.
No.
I'm the lucky one that's been able to put it in such format perspective like this for people to absorb, to learn, to understand and enjoy too. Because the enjoyment of telling, you know, should come across with the enjoyment of listening for something that you've never heard before too.
Jack, that is just such a beautiful summation, and I think that that is probably the most excellent place for us to stop our talk because...
I think it's a good one, too.
I think it's a beautiful ending.
I knew what I was saying.
You are a consummate performer, but you're also a consummate human being.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Rob. Thank
Jack,
you.
Thank you
it's
very
been
much.
A pleasure opening up to you, mate. Yes.
It's been a fantastic program. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you.
Come on, you young fella. How brave and so fine, and seek not your fortune way down in the mine. It'll form like a habit and seep in your soul, in the streams of your blood as black as the coal. Oh, it's dark as a dungeon, damp as the dew, where the dangers are double and the pleasures are few, where the rain never falls and the sun never shines. It's dark as a dungeon way down in the mine. There's many a man I've known in my day who will live just to lay a fiend with his dope. Oh. are a drunk at his wine. These men must have lust for the lure of the mind. Well, it's dark as a dungeon, damp as the dew, where the dangers are double and the pleasures are few, where the rain never falls and the sun never shines. It's dark as a dungeon way down in the mine. I hope when I die and the ages will roll, dangers are double and the pleasures in you, where the rain never falls and the sun never shines. It's dark as a dungeon way down in the mine. Yes.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth and Victorian governments and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.